Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. And now, Marcia Pilgrim continues the story of Office Wife.
Poor Jeff. He'd be infuriated if he thought I felt sorry for him. Or if anyone else did, either. But he has had a pretty rotten trot. He started up on his own, you know, when he left the firm. And people won't give him 3 pennyworth of business. So he's rapidly going broke. Then at lunch today, I had to tell him our divorce won't be settled for some time yet. I rather hoped he'd be just a little bit glad. But if he was, he didn't show it. Maybe it's because he has other things to worry about. He'd just been turned down flat by his bank when he asked for a loan. I offered to help out, and he turned me down flat. But don't think that settled the matter. I'm at Jeff's bank now. It also happens to be Bendigo and Company's bank. And that gives me just a little bit more weight with this pompous bank manager of mine.
Let me understand you, Mrs. Pilgrim. You want to underwrite your husband's overdraft. Is that so?
I put it plainly enough, didn't I?
If I may say so, your manner is a little more abrupt than necessary.
I'm annoyed with you. Mr. Pilgrim's been a customer of yours for I don't know how long. And I know he wouldn't ask you to do anything unreasonable. Why couldn't you have let him have his extension without quibbling?
Because as manager of this bank, madam, it is my business to safeguard the bank's funds.
You don't consider my husband a good risk, is that it?
The bank's function, Mrs. Pilgrim, is to take no risks.
That's begging the question.
As one of our best depositors, you should be gratified...
Mr. Davies... You know perfectly well you could have let Jeff's account go up another 500 or whatever he asked for. Now, why didn't you?
Since you insist. Because I and many another responsible executive in this town consider your husband to be a very poor risk. And you should be well aware of the reasons for it.
I see.
And I consider it my duty to warn you, Mrs. Pilgrim, that under the circumstances, if you guarantee your husband's account... You'll be throwing your money away.
Thanks for the warning, but I'm doing it just the same. And before we go any further, I don't want him to know I've been to you. Is that understood?
We don't prattle, Mrs. Pilgrim.
My husband is to understand you simply changed your mind.
As you please. If you'll step this way, I'll introduce you to our chief clerk.
Well, let's see what bills this morning's mail have brought us. Heave it over, will you, Stella?
Coming right at you.
Ta. Hello, this one's from the bank. Come on, have a look at this.
Well, read it out, why don't you? Morning,
Mr. Pilgrim. Pursuant to our conversation yesterday, you'll be pleased to hear that the bank now sees its way clear to extending your overdraft in the amount requested by you. Without the furnishing of any additional security.
Oh, yes, well, I've seen that anyway.
Well, I'll be hanged. They came round.
Yes.
But what? That's not like old Davies.
Yes, all right. Goodbye. Sorry, dear. It was one of my fellow hens, Peggy Gibson. What did you want to show me?
Hmm?
You wanted me to see some letter from the bank.
Oh, yes. Well, it's nothing much. Just the bank confirming their refusal yesterday.
No more overdraft?
No more overdraft.
Too bad. Oh, well, we're not done for yet.
What's the matter with me? Mind the stammer of all people. Clutching at straws. Wanting her to think I'm stony broke. Oh, I'd better tell her the truth sometime, but not right now.
Darling,
I'm frightfully sorry to pester you again, really I am.
Oh, that's all right, Angela.
Make yourself comfortable.
Any news of Fran Palmer?
Oh, not a thing. Except that the rotter's doing pretty well with that high-pressure crowd who gave him a job.
Trust Palmer. I say, Marcia, darling, you know that 20 I borrowed the other day?
Oh, that.
I thought I'd be able to pay you today.
Oh, it's all right. Don't worry about it.
Yes, but... Well, you see, I'm flat broke again.
Oh, really, Angela? I didn't mind just once for old times and all that, but I can't be handing out funds every day.
Marcia, I'm ill.
You haven't been looking too well. I can see that for myself.
But I mean really ill. And what makes it tough, I used to have enough coin to get by, but I can't seem to get along in my alimony the way I used to.
I'm terribly sorry, Angela, but really... Oh, well, how much this time? Another 20? But it'll have to be the last, definitely.
No, darling, not 20. I don't want to be putting the bite on you for 20s every week or so. I want real money. One lump of it.
Oh, I'm sorry, you'll have to try somewhere else. If you stop to think, you wouldn't have coming near me at all.
Listen, darling, I have an appointment with my specialist in half an hour. I think he's going to give me some bad news. And if he does... Well, darling, I won't be borrowing money from you. I'll be making a deal.
I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about.
Would you laugh if I said I'm getting a conscience?
Yes, I would.
You'd be wrong, Marcia, darling. If my doctor tells me what I'm expecting to hear...
Oh, Angela, please do talk sense.
How would you like to see your friend Palmer behind bars? And this time, I don't mean maybe.
If this is another of those little games of yours...
No, darling, it's not. It'll be quite easy. I've worked it all out. And depending on what I hear in the next hour, I'll... Oh, well. It'll keep.
Oh, look, I think you'd better talk to me after you've seen your doctor, because frankly, you're not making sense at the moment.
No? Darling, when you get in the position I'm in, nothing makes sense. Nothing but an overdose of sleeping pills. So you never wake up.
Angela!
It's all right, darling. I won't do it. Yet.
Poor Angela. She must be going off her head. What in the world was she talking about? I hope that doctor of hers is a psychiatrist.
Now, just relax, Mrs. Tennant. That's right. Relax. Let your head back there. Now, drink this.
That cardiograph thing couldn't have been wrong, could it?
No. I'd like to hold out hope for you. I sometimes wonder if it's worth it when I have to say to my patients what I've just said to you.
Only 6 months ago, I was told my heart was sound.
That was 6 months ago. Not now. We don't know enough about these things. We can only prolong. We can't prevent.
How long have I?
3 months, four. We try to soften these blows, Mrs. Tennant.
It's all right. I expected it. There's a good deal of pain, isn't there?
There are drugs that help.
Yes, but don't you get used to them so at last there's no relief? Well, tell me. Don't sit there looking wise. Tell me just what it'll be like so I'll know.
No two cases are exactly alike. Trust me to do everything I can for you.
Just give me the benefit of your knowledge. How much longer can I go about like a normal person?
2 or 3 weeks at the most. I'd much rather see you go to hospital at once.
2 or 3 weeks? It doesn't give me much time.
Time? I hope you're not planning anything strenuous, Mrs. Tennant.
No, I'm not planning anything strenuous. I'm only hoping I'll have time to put one or two things right, that's all. But in that, I don't think you'd be interested.
Believe me, Mrs. Tennant, these are bad moments for men of my profession. I've little to offer but my sympathy and...
What do you say to your doctor at a time like this? Thank you? Yes, I suppose. Why not? Thank you, Doctor. Thank you very much. I'm much obliged.
Wind that window up, would you, Stella?
The nights are getting colder.
Soon be dark at 6 o'clock again. That better?
I've a little confession to make. Remember that letter from the bank this morning?
Yes, the miserable Lombards. You'd think they'd have stretched a point.
Yes, well, when you see, they did.
But you distinctly told me.
I know what I told you. I feel a fool. And don't ask me why, but I suddenly didn't want you to know the bank had come to life with another 500.
But for heaven's sake, what for? I can imagine you telling a white lie to cover something up, but, well, that was just plain silly. Why, the very next bank statement I saw...
I know.
Jeff, you wanted me to think you were completely broke. Why?
I'm trying to tell you. I haven't the faintest idea.
No, but I have.
Well, give.
You'd like me to say I can't marry you because you've no money. You'll never back out yourself, but you'd like me to.
Well, I say steady on.
No. I've been trying to kid myself, but it's getting harder every day.
I never even hinted.
You don't have to hint. You'd like me out of the way so you could go back to Marcia, wouldn't you? Well, Jeff, I'm not hanging on to anyone who'd rather be off. Understand that. Any time you want to go back to your wife, just say so. You're under no obligation to marry me. None whatever.
Women. How the devil can you ever hope to cope with women? One minute they tell you you'll marry them or they'll die, and the next they're saying, please yourself. Well, maybe it was only a passing, what do you call it, I don't know. But wouldn't it be glorious if she did back out?
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.